Planning Commission meeting. I am Alan Beam. I'm the vice chairman of the committee. We will be doing an election and bringing on new officers here during the course of this meeting. I want to have ourselves introduced. Can we start on the right?
Jonathan Tudan, South Kitsap.
Good evening. Richard Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Adrian Hampton, Central Kitsap.
David Bleet, North Kitsap.
Could we ask for a couple sentences from each of you and what your background is?
David Bleet again. I moved over to the Kitsap Peninsula in 2020, and we own a very small farm outside of Kingston. And before coming to the Kitsap Peninsula, I was on the Bothell Planning Commission and was the chair of the commission the last 3 years I was there. And it's good to be here today.
And good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Adrian Hampton. I have a master's in public administration from the Evans School at the University of Washington. In my former positions, I worked on land use policy, specifically centering health equity all the way from air pollution to working with industry partners. And, yep, very excited to be in this role and look forward to, the new year and what's up for 2025.
My name is Alan Beam. I'm a retired naval officer. I have a real estate company here in town. This is my second term on the Planning Commission.
Hi, I'm a retired attorney from Silverdale. Did a lot of work in land use and real estate, and so this is my second term on the commission.
I'm Jonathan Tudan, architect, living on Southworth Drive in Port Orchard, and this is the completion of my first term. I think I have another year left. Thank you.
Aaron, can you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry to hop in a little late. Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap. I think this might be the start of my third term. Definitely second. I've been around the sun a couple times on this one. I own an architecture firm in Paulsbo, Washington.
And good evening. We also have Tammy Bowen online. She's a new commissioner reporting in. Can you give us a little background? You're still muted.
Hi, I'm Tammy Bowen. I'm calling in from San Diego. I'm the owner of CB's Nuts. I live in Kingston and have been a homeowner in Hansville for 25 years and have raised my kids in the community and bring a lot of experience both with working with the community and also running business and working with partners around the county. So I'm really excited to be here and help us implement our comprehensive plan.
Thank you. This is a hybrid meeting and they have certain protocols that I will read. Please silence all electronic devices during this meeting. If attending in person, please refrain from conversations that will distract from the attendees and the staff during the meeting. If you wish to provide general public comment or testify during the public hearing, we have four methods available. First method is for those attending in person, please sign up at the sheet in the back of the room. Second method is for virtual attendees, raise your hand at the appropriate time using the raise hand button at the bottom of the Zoom window. Your name will be called and your microphone will be unmuted. Third, call in attendees who can signal by pressing star 9 on your keyboard. Your last four digits of your phone number will be called and you will be connected. You may need to dial star 6 to unmute your phone. Fourth, written comments, testimony can be submitted to the staff, emailed to jjewell@kitsap.gov by 2 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. Please include the date of the meeting your comments are meant for, your name, agenda item, and the subject you're addressing. The submitted comments will be entered into the record at the appropriate time. For all speakers, please state your name and general area in which you live. Comments are normally limited to 2 minutes in general public comments and 3 minutes during a public hearing. These times are adjustable by the chair when appropriate. The first order of business today is to adopt the agenda.
I move we adopt the agenda as presented.
I second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Agenda is adopted. Now for the interesting part, the election of officers. We generally elect a chairman and a vice chairman. And first order of business, do we have anyone that wants to volunteer to be chairman?
Chair, I have one quick question for you. Just, is it appropriate time for a question?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would there be any benefit to waiting to hold elections until we get the next two commissioners who will be introducing next month, or are we going to? I was just curious about that.
Do we have a legal opinion on that?
It was not a legal opinion. It's just a matter of the bylaws of the commission provide for election of officers at this time. So I guess we could have a motion to amend or to set aside the bylaws, but my suggestion would be to go ahead and do it now.
And our code also stipulates that your position as an officer, whatever it may be, expires in that calendar year. So this is the first opportunity to take care of that.
Do we have any nominations?
Well, I nominate Alan Beam to serve as chair.
Do we have a second?
I second that nomination.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have another person that wants to run? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Do we have nominations for vice chair? Yes, sir.
Are we able to self-nominate?
Yes, sir.
I would like to put my hat in the ring for to be vice chair of the Planning Commission for 2025.
I second that nomination.
Motion and a second. Do we have anybody else that wants to run? So, can I have a vote for David Villett for vice chair? Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Looking forward to doing a lot of listening because I know a lot of people have been here a lot longer than I have. So, but thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Next order of business is adoption of the minutes from October 15th, 2024.
I move we adopt the minutes as presented by staff for October 2024.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes as presented. Comments? Questions? All in favor say aye.
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 This opens up the first period of general public comment. Is there any members online or in the audience that wishes to make a comment at this time? Do we have anybody online?
We do have some online. Okay, we'll be moving Bill Palmer over to speak.
Mr. Palmer, welcome.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment. My comments are pertinent to the PCD work program. I have two basic concerns. One, according to my analysis of the work program, there's some 14 items of least potential work items, and I don't think any of those should be undertaken until DCD's permit processing system is fixed. I've got personally three applications that are going into 3 and 4 years waiting a decision. And I know there's others that are in a similar situation. Regarding the work program, I know it includes a boundary line adjustment provision, or at least to develop an ordinance. I'm totally against that. In 2011, the last time that issue of a boundary line adjustment regulatory measures be undertaken, the staff said they would produce a report as outlining all of the problems. I have not seen that report in now 14 years, and that report should be produced before anything in that work program was undertaken to regulate boundary adjustments. And I guess the third comment is that every jurisdiction that has adopted those kinds of regulations has extended the permit or extended the review process into 3-4 months, and like a couple of jurisdictions in Pierce County, to include Pierce County, it's well over a year before you can get a boundary line adjustment approval, and I'm just totally against it. I don't believe that the county can document any significant problems with the way things are now, which is compliance with state law. And I may have additional comments after the staff's presentation, but thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other comments from online?
Yes, we have Beverly Parsons.
Thank you. I'm Beverly Parsons from Hansville. I mainly wanted to say welcome to the new commissioners. I really appreciate you all stepping up to play this important role in the county. I don't really know your practices for getting public input, but I'd be very interested in your having at least, say, quarterly, some listening sessions in various parts of the county to receive greater public input than is available through written comments and comments during this meeting. So thank you for your consideration, and thank you for playing the role that you're playing in our county.
Thank you. We also have Marla Powers.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Marla Powers, and I work as staff for the Port Gamble Squalum Tribe. I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know that my role is to review permits and long-range planning work and provide comments that protect and reinforce reserve tribal treaty rights, and that includes protection of habitat environments for salmon and other natural resource needs. So thank you. Welcome, new Planning Commission members. I look forward to working with you throughout the year.
Thank you very much. Any other comments online?
No more comments online.
With that, we will close the first general comment period and proceed with staff briefing.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. I think I've met most of you. I don't believe we've met, but I'm Scott Diener. I manage the Planning and Environmental Programs Division, and that's a division that is made up of three sections within it. There's current planning, so that's your permits. Think of subdivisions and environmental permits and those kinds of things, variances and zoning requests. Then we have the Environmental Programs Division, also known as the Natural Resources Division, and they're primarily focused on, if you had to say one short phrase, it's about saving the salmon primarily, but also about ecosystem lifts and recovering shoreline so that it can perform as it was pre-developed. But they also manage a derelict vessel program, which is a brand new program to DCD and a lot of partnering agencies. And also the Noxious Weed Control Board. The Noxious Weeds Control Board is mandated by the state. It used to rest on the fourth floor, and it was handed to DCD after that person left about 4 years ago. So that's what Natural Resources or Environmental Programs does. And then the last section is the long-range planning team, properly the community planning team, but commonly known as long-range planning. And that's the group that will be before you typically most often in terms of what they do, which is policy development or policy recommendations in the form of code development, and also working on comprehensive planning, community plans, sub-area plans, updates to the comprehensive plan. Some of those updates might involve changes to the comprehensive plan map. So that's typically what our long-range planning section does, is ensure comprehensive planning, amendments to the comp plan, compliance with state and their requirements, and PSRC, Puget Sound Regional Council, and KRCC, the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. Because if we're not compliant with some of their policies, or all of their policies, we can be found to have a non-compliant or non-certified comp plan, which then affects our funding buckets. And transportation is the biggest funding bucket that everybody is going after, no matter where they live. So that's the importance of good comprehensive planning, but what we're going to be working on tonight in terms of laying out the docket, the work plan for 2025, embodies all of that. Any questions? There will be an opportunity for more questions as I get into the presentation on the work plan itself.
Does the creosote recovery program, the people who take the creosote pilings out, is that part of your group for natural resources, or is that something in public work?
That's another program. I've heard about it. I'm not as familiar with it. But that's not a DCD program. Sounds like good mitigation opportunities, whatever that might be, though, for other permits. Yes?
Could you kindly speak to some of the community engagement opportunities?
Yes, I can do that now, or I can do it in my presentation.
I can wait for the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, so we're on to the presentation. All right. So there's a lot to say, so I took notes, and then I'll ask for slide changes. So I'm here tonight to talk about the board-approved 2025 county or community planning docket, more commonly known as our long-range work plan. I'll describe the handful of programs that DCD anticipates it's going to be working on and wrapping up in 2025. I'll start with the background on docketing, how we do that, describe the public engagement that you had asked about, and outline the programmatic elements, and then I'll conclude. Slide, please. DCD's long-range planning group essentially manages comp plan updates and amendments, including sub-area plans, neighborhood plans, community plans, certain mapping updates, and code recommendations to the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners, which I'll call the board moving forward. Whenever a work program is anticipated to change the comp plan, it's required to be done in accordance with RCW, Revised Code of Washington, state law, and as well as the Growth Management Act, or what we hear as GMA. And our code, which is Chapter 2108 of Kitsap County Code, essentially mirrors the RCW code in how we must adopt comprehensive planning. And there is a public participation plan that's required in those public elements. Let's see. We kicked off the work plan with our long-range planning staff already this year. We started a little early last year when we saw we had some time. And we will work through to adoption of several programs and associated development code, again, by December of 2025. Slide, please. Our administrative code also outlines community engagement requirements, which builds in outreach and participation opportunities for the public. So what that has looked like in the past is going to different areas in the county. So we went to Kingston, we went to Port Gamble when their wedding chapel was brand new. We went out to Seabeck, Long Lake, Island Lake, and I think even Silverdale. And we essentially met with the public. And I wouldn't characterize it as listening sessions, as one of the people I spoke to earlier in general comments. It's more of a workshop or an opportunity to dialogue with staff and help influence change that way. So it's pretty robust, and we're actually trying to do something that we haven't necessarily done in the past. We're trying to engage marginalized and disadvantaged communities, which has not been necessarily baked into our public participation plans in the past, what we're going to call community engagement now, but it will be. So that means, for example, meeting with the Filipino American Society, the Philam Society, and meeting with them in a safe space, maybe a church, because they're not necessarily, some people may not necessarily be as comfortable coming to the chambers, for example. So that's the kind of approach we're going to be looking at. And if anybody has any ideas, and I suspect there might be some, let us know. So let's see. So each of the programs that I'm about to speak of has been authorized by the Board of County Commissioners. And each program has its own tailored engagement plan. So, for example, one program might have a broad community outreach, where another might be focused on a specific community or an area or a specific audience. And I'll give examples of that. In the end, our engagement plans will try to reach all who may be interested in or impacted by a specific issue. And that should hopefully take care of one of the comments we heard earlier on. Slide, please. So the first program I'm going to speak to is the Sea Level Rise Vulnerability and Risk Assessment. Quite a mouthful. But that's a report that will identify the potential for losses or damages due to flooding due to sea level rise and coastal erosion. And that's a report that will characterize the risk of these loss of uplands and assets, and will be used for a variety of future planning purposes. So a good example is that some of the results of this report may change our development code. But in real life, what that might look like is a public road that there's no way we can bulkhead that road, and so we might have to vacate that road. Well, that's a big deal for people who access off that road and makes it more difficult if there's no other access, if there's not access to the rear, for example. Public Works has utilities that are in tidal zones. PSE has utilities in tidal zones. And we, over the break, there was a storm, or just before the break, there was a storm that was severe enough to cant a telephone pole from TSC over the right-of-way. One of the support structures, the guidelines, had snapped, and that was also anchored well out in the tidelines. And so those are the kinds of things that we'll be looking at, and will only get worse if we don't do anything. So the results of that report are due in mid-2025, and the report will be adopted by reference into the comprehensive plan. Slide, please. So another program is an assessment of Kitsap County's rural lands, economics, and character. It will result in a new chapter to the comp plan. This is what you are hearing about as Year of the Rural. And where this began was in 2010, we did a Year of the Rural outreach, and I characterized all those outreach places. And then in 2016, in an effort to lean the comp plan and make it kind of a thinner document, that chapter for rural resources was discarded. And it was not, I understand the goal of making a comp plan more lean, but we lost some valuable information. And so this Year of the Rural will not necessarily be reinventing that wheel, but just informing on what changes should be made to that prior chapter that we had. A lot of the information that we had in 2011, I'm sure we're going to hear again. The overriding theme in 2011 was keep Kitsap rural. We like Kitsap rural because it's rural. Change, right? People don't necessarily want to see change into rural Kitsap. And that's supported by GMA. The tribes have a vested interest in that. And they, rightfully so, take a very long look, long view at rural Kitsap. So that'll be a very important exercise to go through, is kind of reaffirming what we once had and seeing where changes need to be made. So, for example, We had a code compliance issue with a gentleman who was doing industrial work in a commercial zone. And we said, yeah, you can't do that. You're doing something quite dangerous, and you need proper permitting and fire review and all that. It involved a kind of a paint booth situation, explosive fumes and chemicals. And so they went out and looked where they could move to in other industrial lands in Kitsap, and they came back with a report that said, we're finding that most of the industrial lands have been snapped up by the feds in anticipation of their improvement projects across the water. And so that was kind of eye-opening for me to hear. Commissioner Rolfes had already heard that. But maybe what we'll see out of this is some recognition of rural industrial lands that might be needed, pockets of rural industrial lands in areas that make sense, that are not truly rural Kitsap, like, you know, not out in Seabeck, as an example. So that's something that we'll be looking at in terms of kind of rescoping the Year of the Rural. And we'll also evaluate some of the rural zone changes that were considered under the current comprehensive plan's environmental impact statement, but which were deferred because they were rural and they just did not have the staff nor the time to manage that for 2024's adoption. Slide, please. The Year of the Rural will also look at criteria for citing alternative energy proposals, including for solar and battery farms. There's a push by PSE to get alternative energy sources in play once they divested themselves from coal portfolios. And so what we're seeing as a result of an RFP they issued is a request for alternative energy proposals. So there's a biodiesel generator that's being proposed in Yulin Tree Farm. There's a battery energy system storage, a BESS, that's being proposed for off of 104. These are things that can have potential impacts, especially to rural areas. But when you talk to Puget Sound Energy and the applicants, they need to be near these substations because, particularly battery farms, the energy that they transmit dissipates or gets, not dissipates, degrades over distance. So substantially degraded over a mile is what I've been told. So they want a site close to substations. Well, our substations are scattered throughout. And it makes sense that you want to do that so you're not having additional transmission lines typically overhead. So there's a lot of discussion that's going to be had about that. We're all aware of these lithium ion battery fires and that they can't be put out by water. You have to, in some cases, let them just burn out. The proposal we're seeing is for individual cabinets of batteries. Nonetheless, the toxic plumes that come off of those in an event of a fire are something we have to consider. Anyways, getting a little off track on that, but we'll be looking at also changes to the boundary line adjustment code with simple planning concepts that make for good planning. We're not proposing an ordinance. We're not proposing a review process. I think you may have had some testimony near the end of last year from surveyors. And surveyors wanted to promote a model ordinance. That model ordinance was very similar, in my view, to a plat application, and that's not what we're after. We're not trying to create another application process. What we're trying to do is make sure that when boundary line adjustments are done, they're done with good planning concepts. So, for example, if you're going to do a BLA, you can't create an unbuildable parcel. You can't create a parcel that now is in the need to have environmental or zoning variances. The parcel's got to be compliant with the original subdivision's CCNOs, or CCNR, sorry. Those kinds of good planning principles. Yeah, question.
Isn't that a review process, Scott?
It is, but it's going to be, if it's done, it's going to be over the counter. So it won't be an actual application. You come in and you can say, am I checking all the boxes here? And there's a lot to work out with this. Really, the gatekeeper are the auditors. And if they're not interested in gatekeeping, then we're flying solo again.
The other thing I noted in the materials you presented from the commissioners was that some of these areas we're looking at, we're going to have stakeholder groups put together.
Yeah.
And certainly, I think you were here in 2011 when we went through this process of the BLA last time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stakeholders interested in what you're saying now versus what comes out in the code.
Right.
And wouldn't it make sense to have stakeholders of real estate, lawyers, surveyors, development community and others to look at this before we
absolutely take a step. And we plan on doing that. The surveying community was really important in their comments, and we're trying to let them know that, look, this is not going to be a full